Welcome. Ray and Tay today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay today, talking sports.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Ray
and they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Thanks for joining us. You want to join the ride? Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, send us your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com and check out our website at rayandtaytoday.com. Fun show. We got some stuff to talk about, Ray. Let them know what's going on, man. Baseball's back.
Oh, yeah. Baseball's back in a big way. We had a great All-Star game. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the second half of the season, meaning the second third or the third third of the season. Baseball doesn't quite do the half, you know, doesn't do the All-Star break right at the midway point. We'll talk a little bit of football. We'll talk a little bit of basketball. We've got the British Open, or as they call it, the Open. So we've got a lot to talk about.
Give them their props, right? So, yeah, man. So I think we might have a new this show might be brought to some people by somebody. Who are we rolling with, man?
Yeah, today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. You can get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/RayandTayToday. So check them out. It's awesome. Books on, you know, spoken books is a cool thing, especially if you're in the radio, if you're in the car listening, or if you're just at home.
Or traveling on the airplane, you know?
Sure.
I know I enjoyed, I think, Angels and Demons that way, those whole little books and that book series they had. So it was very enjoyable. Well, let's jump right into it. Great All-Star game, 5-3, American League win, so they have the home field advantage. They honored Jeter. It was classy. We'll, you know, ask you what you think about the whole Wainwright issue. Trout gets MVP. Thought it was interesting. The one thing, Ray, I think baseball dropped the ball, and I want to know what you think, is – how come we did not honor Tony Gwynn, the all-star of all-stars, a great player who just recently passed away? I thought that would have been a classy thing to do, and they got to do something with the home run derby, like the dunk contest. It's too long, and it's not that interesting anymore. So those are my thoughts with that. What do you think about Gwynn and switching up the home run derby or putting in something else?
I like your points. I think that Puckett, being a Minnesota guy, and Gwynn, these are two all-stars and two really ambassadors, really excellent ambassadors of the game. And I thought this was a great opportunity to give them both a lot of props together. Now, granted, you know, one was American League, one was National League, but they were basically grew up and dominated in the same era. So, yeah, I did think baseball missed an opportunity there. As for the All-Star game festivities, you know, all the other sports have a couple events, a skills event, this, that, and the other. Baseball has home run derby, and you're right, it gets a little boring. When it's good, it's great, but
right,
the problem is very rarely is it great. Now, Yoenis Cespedes put on a great show, so this takes nothing away from him.
Oh, but no, he was clutch and amazing, yeah.
I don't know how they make it better, but they have to figure out a way, I think.
And maybe you do some different skills. Maybe I've heard people mention guys running bases. Maybe we see like a type of thing, you know, like we had the great arm with Puig and Dave Parker back in the days. Maybe seeing guys do a skill thing where, you know, you catch a fly ball and you throw the fast runner out from third base. That could be fun. I don't know. I mean, there's different things that the game has that we could sort of see players doing. I don't know. It's just some thoughts. But listen, two things to start off the second half that I think are fascinating, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Well, the Braves released Dan Uggla. which I thought was interesting. But two guys that might move, Cliff Lee from the Phillies and David Price from the Rays. If they do get traded, you know, who do you think will be buyers and pitchers? Could you see the Brewers, the Yankees, the Mariners? Who do you think, maybe even the A's again, who's going to be buyers in the second half, especially for David Price and the pitching?
So David Price is interesting because he is a staff ace, but he's going to want, you know, CC Sabathia money, right? So he's going to want 20-plus million a year. So not only do you need to be willing to spend that, you have to be pretty convinced that you can sign the guy, right? CC Sabathia, remember, went to the Brewers back in the days, what was that, 08, 09, right before he came to the Yankees.
Right.
And they didn't sign him long term. So that was a missed opportunity on their part to do that. So it's a risky, you know, it's a risky business to go after David Price. Look, I think the Yankees will try. I don't know if Tampa wants him in the division, though. I don't know if Tampa wants to face him for the next 5 or 6 years.
I know, so, I wouldn't. This is a young pitcher. And, you know, he's leading the league in strikeouts, right? He's got 164, 10 ahead of King Felix with 154. So he's still the man, kind of, you know?
Yeah, you know, he's the man, period. And if it weren't for monetary reasons and if it weren't for the fact that the Blue Jays are, you know, basically everybody in the AL East except for the Red Sox is doing better than the Rays, the Rays should keep him. I mean, look, I want him on the Yankees for sure, but you hate to see a guy who was drafted by an organization, developed by an organization. Remember how exciting it was that year that the Rays went to the World Series and David Price came in there in relief, was pitching the ninth against the Red Sox in the ALCS? I mean, this guy should stay a Ray. He should stay
in Tampa. No, he should
definitely
stay in Tampa.
I'm just saying if he doesn't, it's not Tampa's fault. It's not his fault. Tampa's running out of money. He wants what he deserves. It's a problem with baseball that a small market team can't keep their star pitcher.
Yeah, no, it's a shame, and you hate to see that. I think what's interesting, like you said, with sort of baseball in the second half, and, you know, we're definitely giving some baseball some love today. What things that are interesting to me, like, I love, obviously, looking in the offense, but pitchers are dominating. We're on pace for, like, the most strikeouts ever, but guys are still, like, swinging the stick. Your boy, Tulowitzki, is leading the majors, batting .345. And I was surprised to see that, you know, Cano is still doing big things at .334 for the Mariners. And, you know, guys are still really hitting well. I mean, obviously, Adrian Beltre. Let me ask you, like, when you look at Beltre.
Wait, we got breaking news. Sabathia is now out for the year.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah, we were worried about that.
Probably here, they might have already announced about Alden Smith. He was in court today. And I don't know, you know, if that came across yet, but Alden Smith had his a week early, was in court today, and we'll find out what's going to happen with him with the Niners. So on the football side, as training camp starts, you know, the Bills and Giants are in the Hall of Fame game, Ray, and training camp starts for the Bills on the 20th. So we're right there. But let me ask you, what do you think about some of these offensive guys? I mean, obviously you've got these studs like Puig and Trout, but – you know, just the hitters. You got Tulowitzki, Altuve with the Houston. By the way, Houston Astros are kind of maybe people are laughing at them, but looks like they're building it the right way, right? A lot of young guys. But back to Adrian Beltre. Is he a Hall of Famer, Ray? He's had some
really
good.
It's funny that you asked that because for years I didn't think so. But if you look at the things he's doing – at third base, which is not a trivial position, right? It's not first base, and it's not right field. I mean, that's a very important, you know, defensive position. The guy is a perennial Gold Glover and All-Star. He is going to be one of they showed some stats that he's going to be one of four third basemen ever with 1,000 RBIs, and he's going to hit, you know, his fair share of home runs and gets on base. He's one of the – remember, we always say this about pitchers, right? Don Sutton one third, we're exaggerating a little bit, but not much, right? Don Sutton's in the Hall of Fame because he won 300 games by winning 15 games a year for 20 years, right? So my personal view, and I think you share that with me, is we don't want the Hall of Very Good, right? You have to dominate. And I'd rather have a guy that dominated but for fewer years than a guy that was good to very good for many years.
Like our Donnie Baseball.
Like our boy Donnie Baseball, right? He only dominated for 5 or 6 years, but he dominated, right? So Adrian Beltre never really dominated, though. That's my only issue. He never really dominated his position. He was always very good at his position. So is he Don Sutton?
Yeah, but you know what? How about this,
though? Is he more than that?
Okay, forget Don Sutton. Let's compare to, you know, hitters. I think he's right in there with the Molitor and Robin Yount. Those guys were never
I don't know. Robin Yount won 2 MVPs. And Paul Molitor, you know, has 3,300 hits. I mean, he's a notch below those two. I mean, I hear what you're saying.
Right.
I hear where you're going.
Let's be fair about Molitor, right? He played a long time and compiled a lot. I think Adrian Beltre
But he won an MVP. Wait, but you're right about Molitor. So maybe he's Craig Biggio? Is he Craig Biggio? He's probably better defensively than Craig Biggio.
Yeah. I just, you know, I had to bring him up because he's really fascinating, and he's second in the majors, Ray, in batting. He's pretty darn good, 337, Adrian Beltre. I mean, he's, wow. But let me ask you about your guy that you picked for Rookie of the Year, leading the league, 29 homers, Abreu from the White Sox, Jose Abreu. He's a stud, and we've talked about this, right, that Latin American players are really dominating the game. I mean, you look at the homers. You've got Abreu, Cruz, Edwin Encarnacion, you know, then you got Trout. But, I mean, it's like, wow, there's some, you know, amazing young players, but definitely I think the young Latin American players are taking over, man. They're really,
yeah,
I mean, Cruz
are.
Is back with a vengeance, 28 homers, and Encarnacion, 26.
Yeah, he was dominating last year before he got hurt. And, you know, his boy Jose Bautista, Joey Bats up there in Toronto also doing
Cabrera.
Big things. Look, baseball's in good hands. They got a lot of young talent and a lot of young Latin talent. So if you're a young Latin kid, you've got a lot of role models out there and a lot of people in the professional ranks that you can look up to. So, yeah, baseball's good. Baseball's really good. And they've got some young, dominant pitchers in baseball, right? We talked about Cliff Lee's at the end of his career, but David Price is right in the middle of his career. Clayton Kershaw just signed that $30 million per year deal.
He's the best.
Max Scherzer's right up there. Greinke is still pitching well. Adam Wainwright's probably on the back end of his career. But there's
Felix.
A lot of really
King
good
Felix
talent.
And Cueto, my man
King
Johnny
Felix,
Cueto.
Cueto bounced back, yeah, for sure.
And then Tanaka. We got to get him healthy. And then the Mets young guys, Wheeler and Matt Harvey, when they really get growing next year, especially Harvey coming back. What's up with our guy in Washington? What do you think's going on with him?
Strasburg?
Yeah.
I think he's all right. Look, he bounced back from Tommy John surgery. He is – look, remember, he's only, what, 23, 24 years old. And
yeah. 149 strikeouts. Third in the
major. He's fine. He's a dominant pitcher for a decade, right? If he can stay healthy, he's, you know, at the very least, he's King Felix. This guy is got the whole package, right? He looks like he's got the right head on his shoulder, the right mentality. They babied him a little bit in Washington. Remember, they shut him down right before the playoffs. So I think he's fine. He's fine for years and years to come. I think he'll be the real deal.
So give me a team, give me a wild card team that might not be in position now that you think could maybe sneak in. Could the Yankees get a wild card, pass the Angels, or do you see in the Central?
No, I think the Yankees are not making the playoffs.
Okay.
You know,
maybe the Mariners?
I'm a huge Yankee fan. I'm a huge Yankee fan, but I don't think they make it.
Give me somebody to make a second half run, ALNL, one team. It's not in the playoffs today.
Right, so I think in the AL, I really think that a couple of teams, I keep saying it, and eventually it'll happen, the Kansas City Royals. Yeah. I think they're going to make a run. I like that young team. I think they have a mix of pitching and talent and youth. I like them in the American League. In the National League, let me go out on a limb and give you a team. I want to say that the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to come back. And maybe that's just my heart talking because I want to see them succeed so badly. So I'll throw that out there.
You think the Pirates? Yeah, you know, I agree with you. You could see the Royals. Maybe Cleveland wakes up. Maybe it's the Mariners. What if Seattle could get a pitcher like a Lee or David Price? And, you know, maybe they put it together. And you got to watch out for the Cincinnati Reds. You know, if they can continue to get healthy with Frazier.
I thought so. They need Joey Votto, though. That's the problem. They need Joey Votto to be healthy. I mean, they've got Hamilton at the top of the lineup. Again, we have that joke that you can't steal first, right? But they have Billy Hamilton at the top of the lineup. They have some hitters. They have some pitchers. But it comes down to that one guy, Joey Votto, right? They've got Bruce and they've got other players and Brandon Phillips and so forth, but Joey Votto is really the heart and soul of that team. So if he can get healthy and return to form, because even when he was healthy, a lot like Carlos Gonzalez of the Colorado Rockies, even when they're healthy, they weren't up to form. Now they're not 100% healthy, but even when they were playing, they weren't playing to the back of their baseball card.
No, listen. You're totally right, and let's see, man. But you know what? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the Open, Ray. Rory is leading, isn't he? The British Open, known as the Open. What is he? He's 12 under.
12 under. Shot an 8 under today, and he's 12 under for the tournament. 4 strokes ahead of Dustin Johnson, who also had a nice day by going 7 under today. He's 8 under for the tournament. And then you have a bunch of guys tied for third. So you've got some former champions. You've got some big names in there. So you've got Molinari, Moore, Ricky Fowler, Sergio Garcia, Schwartzel, and Louis Oosthuizen. Don't sleep on Oosthuizen. They're all 6 under. So within striking distance, if you got 2 rounds to make up 6 strokes, you can do that.
Yeah, and your boy El Tigre just barely made the cut. He's
barely,
still 2
right? He shot a 72 today.
Yeah, which isn't horrible, but Tigers, he's still rusty. And I just don't think he's ready yet. I feel like this is Rory's to win. I think he... You know, I don't know if he can handle the pressure going into weekend, right? Saturday, you know, being up, but he's playing very well, and he missed a lot of putts. So if he was hitting his putts, he would have more birdies and would be up even another 3-4 shots. So let's see what he does over the weekend and who takes home, the third major in golf. It's going to be fascinating. So before we get to basketball, like Ray said earlier, you know, I got to tell you, man, the place to go is audible.com. Ray had mentioned, and what's fascinating, and we've checked it out, over 150,000 titles. So you can go to audible.com, and, you know, you can sign up, and you've got the free trial. So it's audible.com/free trial, Ray and Tay today. But there, Ray, I mean, they've got books like from one of our guests, right, on our show, Seth Davis. They've got his book called John Wooden. Obviously, it's a great insight to John Wooden's life. You can listen to our episode where Seth actually talks about it, saying that, you know, he was not the perfect man, you know, like everyone's, you know, thinking or has been told. They've got great books, you know, not just sports, Stephen King, some of his collection. They've got, this is the book from the movie Moneyball from Michael Lewis. This is about the Oakland A's and Billy Beane and that whole thing. And look, the A's are right there again. You've got a book, autobiography about Ben Roethlisberger. We've got books on Phil Jackson. So the place to go is audible.com. Check it out and hey, like I said, you know, 150,000 titles, you can't go wrong listening
sign
to
up
books.
For a free trial. Check it out. See if you like it.
I think it's fun, and, you know, put our name in there and, you know, get a little love from Ray and Tay today. So it's time for some hoops, and we've got some signings today. The Lakers brought back Xavier Henry. They just signed Carlos Boozer. They blind-bidded the most for him, which I thought was interesting. They're building up a little team. Looks like they're going to hire Byron Scott. Your man, Jimmer Fredette, signs with the Pelicans.
Jimmer!
Yeah, man. Jimmer Fredette has got a contract. You know, the other day, since we left the show, the Knicks signed a big man, Jason Smith. The Mavs signed one of their summer league standouts, Eric Griffin, to a 3-year contract. So, you know, like I tell Ray, summer league does matter. He had the best dunk in summer league in Orlando, and he's been balling out, Eric Griffin. So good for him getting a 3-year deal. And my man, we had a segment, You're Not Ready, or Yo, That's My Guy, months ago, right? And it was on Gennaro Pargo. You know, not Jeremy, his brother, but Gennaro. Gennaro re-signed with the Charlotte Hornets, Ray. So I'm happy for him. You know, someone that obviously we've mentioned on the show. The question I have for you is, you know, we're sort of seeing most of the guys have signed. No Greg Monroe, no Eric Bledsoe yet, although they offered him 4 years, $48 million, and Eric Bledsoe wants more money. We know how Ray feels about that. No way, Jose. But Ray, who gets Kevin Love? Now they're saying they're willing to do Wiggins. Well, will that put the pressure on Golden State to say, we'll do Klay Thompson? What happens with the biggest domino that's left, Kevin Love? Cavs, Warriors, what do you think? Who gets them?
Oh, boy. It's hard to tell because ultimately it's a game of poker, right? My gut all along said that he was a California guy and he would end up with one of the California teams. So the Lakers don't have much. Clippers don't really need him. So it comes down to Golden State. So I think it really comes down to Golden State and Cleveland. And if Cleveland puts in Wiggins, it becomes more interesting. But I think that Minnesota and Golden State ultimately make a deal. Klay Thompson is included in the deal. And because they have the combination of Thompson, Barnes, and they have, you know, the big contracts, but they'll come off the books of Bogut and David Lee, I think that combination is good enough to get Kevin Love out of Minnesota. And Minnesota has to do something because he's not staying. As much as they try to, as much as Flip Saunders tries to convince himself that he can go at it like Kevin Garnett and keep him there for 9 years, he won't. So ultimately, I think it's Golden State.
I'm surprised because I do like Klay. I don't think Steve Kerr wants to give up on him, and I don't think he wants to take back Kevin Martin. And I do think with Cleveland, let's say if I get Wiggins, Bennett, who's looking pretty good in summer league, he's in shape, he's healthy, and they have 3 first-round picks. If I can get their highest first-round pick, I like that potential maybe more than, you know, because I think Wiggins, you know, he's shown something. He has the potential to be special.
True.
Better than,
but I think Minnesota's dealing with this phrase that I'm starting to get more and more into, which is we're 2 years away from being 2 years away.
Right.
You know, even though Bennett was the number one overall pick and Wiggins is the number one overall pick this year, you know, we're always building for the future. When is the future? Now, you almost have to take that approach, especially in the Western Conference, because you're not going anywhere in the next 2 or 3 years as long as the Clippers, the Spurs, the Thunder.
They're 10 teams ahead of Minnesota, probably.
Yeah, for sure. So maybe it is right to really be 2 years away from being 2 years away, but I do think that the Golden State players are a little bit more ready to come in and contribute right now as opposed to the Cleveland players, which are basically selling you on potential.
That's fair. So let me ask you this. I mean, when we look at it, to me, I'm really impressed with, you know, what, you know, teams have done, like them getting the Bulls, getting Paul Gasol. They bring back Heinrich. You know, they bring over Meritek. And I got to tell you, man, I love, and we'll talk about them in our segment real quick. You know, I like their draft picks. I think one of the biggest moves, though, and the East is so loaded now, where the East had four good teams. I think the East now, the way Washington and Charlotte, I think Charlotte getting Lance Stephenson, I think switches the power. The Pacers replace him basically with C.J. Miles and Rodney Stuckey. Yuck. I'm not feeling that. Not bad, but I'm not feeling that. Lance Stephenson had probably the most heart on that team. The best two-way player, had five triple-doubles, should have been an all-star, Ray. Besides
really
the blowing of the hair, if people are honest, he's one of the best up-and-coming two guards in the league. That's going to help the Hornets a lot.
It really is, and it would have been interesting to see had they gotten Gordon Hayward, but they got Lance instead, and he's one of those rare two-way players, too. I mean, again, I hate to do it because he's also from New York and he's a bit of a nutcase, but just from a basketball perspective, his game's a little bit different, but from a basketball perspective, he reminds you a little bit of Ron Artest in that he can impact the game on both sides of the court. He, again, different type of game, and he's smaller than Ron Artest, but a guy who can legitimately dominate for stretches on either side of the court. And those are rare. Those are rare. Usually you get a guy who, you know, dominates on one side, even the elite players dominate on one side and maybe do one or two things on the other side. But he really is a true two-way player.
No, definitely. And so real quick, before we get to our segment, You're Not Ready, back by popular demand, I just got to ask you, for those Laker fans out there, do you like what they're doing? I mean, obviously it's, you know, stopgap. Maybe they want to get in the Durant thing. The Wizards hired Durant's, like, friend as a coach or whatever. Everybody wants him for 2016. But competitively, do you like Nash, Lynn, Kobe, you know, Nick Young, Swaggy P is back, you know, getting Randall, Boozer, you know, what do you think about that? Can Boozer and Randall play together at the 4-5? Boozer play some 5 in the West, maybe?
So what's interesting is Boozer's coming off his worst season ever, but I think that's just all that rumor about him being amnestied and being traded. I love the pickup for the Lakers. I think you just get more talent. I think Easy Ed Davis, our boy from Carolina, can give them some length, can give them some shot blocking.
Good
and
point.
They've got two or three guys that want to get up and down the court, right? So Swaggy P wants to get up and down the court. Put Kobe aside, right? Kobe can play any style, but put Kobe aside. You got Swaggy. You got Nash who wants to get up and down the court. You probably have Randall who wants to get up and down the court.
Kendall
so
Marshall.
They've got some.
Kendall Marshall.
And our boy Jordan Hill who wants to get up and down the court. So I like the fact that they're adding talent. I don't know how this team gels quite yet. And what they need to do is hire a coach already.
Hire
Byron
Scott.
How many times are you going
to
either hire him or don't? But you don't need to. You don't need to interview Byron Scott for the fourth time. He was with your organization for 15 years. You know exactly who you're getting. Hire the guy or move on. But
it
like,
speaks about the Lakers' dysfunction, though, Ray. It really
Byron
does.
Byron Scott has to come in for a fourth interview. Really? Look, why?
I can't believe this thing. So, well, let's end with our segment. I'm going to let you go first. You're not ready, player or team, that the fans are not ready for, that on the rise, Ray. Break it down.
So you're not ready for, you know, we talk about, this is a tribute to Tay, because Tay is all about Summer League. And I say, you know what, don't get excited about Summer League, because at the end of the day, 90% of these kids aren't even going to make a team, let alone make an impact on a team. So, but we're in a basketball mood. We're talking about NBA hoops. So I'm going to go out there and make a statement that says you're not ready for my guy who I predicted would be better than one of his former teammates who was also a number one overall pick. You're not ready for John Wall to be a NBA Finals participant. Ooh. Best point guard in the Eastern Conference.
Whoa.
Top five point guard. You're not ready for John Wall to come on the scene in 2014-2015.
And he's going to play in the World Cup. He'll probably make the team, him and Kyrie. Is that where we're going? You're saying John Wall's taking the next step, Ray?
I'm saying he's taking the next step. When he came out of college, I thought he'd be better than Derrick Rose, his former, you know, Calipari coach.
Alum.
I guess they went to – technically they went to different schools because Derrick Rose went to Memphis. But
right,
same
right.
system, same coach, basically. I think this is the year John Wall steps up, becomes the best point guard in the East, and potentially takes his team to the NBA Finals. Has to get to Chicago and Cleveland. And depending on where Kevin Love goes, I don't know, my man John Wall might
I'm
step
not
up
mad
to
at you. And they just got Paul Pierce. Signing Pierce, Chris Humphries, and DeJuan Blair, that's nice. As veterans off the bench, it's better than Trevor Booker and Al Harrington. So I think they upgraded.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to tribute Summer League, I'm going there to Summer League. By the way, the Knicks play Saturday. They're 4-0. Go Knicks against the Hornets, who were pretty nice in Summer League too. And P.J. Harrison is a beast. But I'm going to predict to you, not the number one draft pick, Wiggins, not Parker 2, not Exum, not Aaron Gordon, but I'm going to my man, Dougie McBucket.
Bucket!
Start all forward for the Chicago Bulls and number one seed in the East. Doug McDermott will be the rookie of the year. In Summer League, he's averaging 18 points, barely one rebound, but three assists. And Doug McBucket is a scoring machine. He's 6'8", 225, more athletic than people think. He is nobody's Adam Morrison, and he's nobody's Larry Bird. But he is Doug McDermott. He will be the rookie of the year, shoot about 47, 48%. He'll hit 40% or 45% from the threes. He's nasty. Probably score 15, 16 a game, and he will be a clutch player for the Chicago Bulls, who will get the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, Ray. That's what I say as of today, depending on Kevin Love trade. But Doug McDermott, he's my rookie of the year, and you're not ready for Doug McDermott.
Okay.
That's it, baby.
All right. Well, hey, great show. We had a little bit of all, you know, major sports going on. We'll be back on Monday, normal time. We'll talk the Open again. I think Rory runs away with it. It's really 2 years ago we thought Rory McIlroy was going to come on the scene and dominate, and he did for a stretch of a few months. I think his head is now right. He had some, you know, girlfriend issues, his off the court issues, right? But
hey,
I think he's ready.
Ray, before we say goodbye, we got to give props to and say our love and prayers out to Stuart Scott, man, one of the best in the sporting business. The ESPYs was great. Drake did a great job hosting. Drake and Blake was hilarious. People could look that up. Blake Griffin and Drake was hilarious. But Stuart Scott, man, battling you know, cancer. Great story.
I didn't realize he had 50, over 50 chemo treatments and countless surgeries.
It's amazing that he still does Sports Center.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless the guy, man. So, hey, man, Ray and Tay sends up prayers, and sports heals, sports cares, man. And, you know, great show, Ray. Have a good weekend.
Peace. See you on Monday.
Sports with friends.